Welcome to the Ask Zach Show. I'm your host, Zach Childs. I've spent the last 30 years working in the music industry here in Nashville, Tennessee, during which I've done everything from touring with major artists like Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood to playing the nastiest dive bars or even the occasional wedding. This show is all about barreling down the rabbit hole on all things guitar and the music we love. We will cover the legendary players, gear insights, and even some interviews along the way. I hope you enjoy. To support the show, follow the links in the description to find out about my Patreon page. Or go to my store at AskZach.com to pick up a coffee mug or t-shirt. Now, let's dive in. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Ask Zach. So glad to see y'all again. I've been out for the last 2 weeks. I was out on the road with Brad Paisley. I was his guest along with the great Nacho Baños. And we had a ton of fun talking Telecasters. And so much so that I asked Nacho if he would do a little comparison. And so this was filmed backstage in Zurich, Switzerland. And this is Nacho comparing his July 1953 Telecaster against an original Broadcaster that another friend of mine, Olivier Uldry, that lives in Uldry, that lives in Switzerland, he brought to the show for us to look at. So from the patron saint of the Telecaster, Nacho Baños, you're going to get to see and hear a comparison between a 53 Tele and a Broadcaster. My only regret on this was that, you know, we just had this little backstage area in one of the dressing rooms, and so we couldn't bring an amp in to, hear them, but you're going to get a really good comparison. Now, in thanks for Nacho doing this, I'm going to give a plug for his book, the Pinecaster book. So this is a four-volume set that is really the Bible for early Telecasters. It tells the context of what was going on before the Broadcaster, Telecaster Esquire was developed, and it tells the entire process. It shows the prototypes, the guitars made of pine and such, and then there's all sorts of pictures of blackguards, and it's amazing for the photographs, for the stories that are told, for the context that's given of the time, and also for the drawings and little caricatures that you get from Billy Gibbons. It's an amazing book, and you should go to pinecasterbook.com to check it out. All right, guys, here's Nacho. Well, hello, friends. You're not seeing my face. This is the face of Nacho Baños, and he has a Broadcaster. And we also have my friend Olivier Uldry with Lead Music in Geneva.
Did well.
And so we are going to have a good time talking about Telecasters. We're going to let Nacho take us to school on the differences between this Broadcaster that is owned by Olivier, and then we're going to talk about this 53 Tele that Olivier is holding, and just kind of the evolution that these guitars went through, you know, in a brief period of time.
Yes,
all right. So take it away, Nacho.
So this is Olivier's guitar, and I have to say, it's a beautiful guitar. His number is 0725. I'm guessing it's in November 1950, because of the way of the body, the finish, and the neck shape, the looks of the finish in general. I would say it's a very light guitar for being a Broadcaster. I would be surprised if this thing is over 7 pounds. It will be most likely six and something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
The neck is a typical November guitar. It's more of a medium D, you know. I would say it would be kind of like 85, 86 on the first fret. It's been very fretted, which is good news because you can play it and it's a great sound and a great playing instrument. And it's got the typical, you know, features of a broadcaster. It's got we haven't plugged it in, but I'm going to assume this is a very powerful.
Oh yeah, it is.
Pickup. Mm-hmm. The finish on this guitar is the typical November of 1950, which is a very brittle, and it's thin, and it looks as if it doesn't have any real undercoat. So if I were Olivier, I wouldn't play this guitar in Spain during summertime because the sweat would destroy the finish and you would be flaking all over with your arm, and you know, it wouldn't be blonde anymore. And some of the parts, but you know, other than that, I think it's a beautiful condition. It's got, you know, the tall knobs. I'm going to say it's got the blend control, you know, the pick guard. It won't have the diagonal route here. It's got brass saddles, and, you know, all of the screws are going to be, slot head. On the back, you see how the ferrules are not aligned. So that means that they were drilled from the top. And, you know, you can see some. It's a little funny.
That was a question I had for you because I've, were they drilled from the bottom or the top?
I guess they were drilled from the top without having any type of template.
So okay. Each at a time.
Yeah, each one at a time.
So that's why it's not aligned.
If you use kind of like a template, then they will all go.
Makes it better.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we have the broadcaster decal and the closed shell tuners with closing blocks, patent applied on the back. This is. The pots, I'm going to guess, are 304 stack pole. It would be 304-0 something from 1950. It's got the earliest style jack cup. And I think it's a perfect example of a 1950 broadcaster. It's a beautiful, we were talking about this before, but I really like how the finish on this or the guitars is so complex because you get so many different colors in one single place. You get, you know, some is darker, some is more butterscotchy, you know, some, you got different tones here, a different color here, you know, here's totally different. On the sides, you know, you get the, you know, different shades. So it's very, very three-dimensional looking. It's never a single color blonde finish, which is why it's so hard to replicate these guitars. And when you get to the worn out areas like this, you always get that bare wood and then a little lighter color, and then there starts to get dark butterscotch. It's a beautiful guitar. I'm in love. I'm sorry, Olivier. I think I'm going to take it home with me to Spain.
Zurich is a nice place to stay, you know. I can stay here.
It is a gorgeous guitar, Nacho.
It's a beautiful guitar. I'm so happy.
It's a sickness.
Oh yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm really appreciate it.
Let's switch over to the unless you have something else to say, let's talk about the 53.
I think it's you know, you guys want to say something else or ask any questions, but I think it's just, you know, it's a perfect broadcast.
And what do you think is the sound difference with the in general between the broadcaster pickup and the pickup that you would get in the 53?
Well, the construction of this pickup is different because it's got the thinner wire, and in order to get the body of a pickup that would do more wound, so it's a hotter pickup, and you know, some, you know, we did the research on the magnets and we found that most of the early guitars, instead of having a legal fives, would have the larger diameter .195 Omega 3s or Omni 3s that don't have cobalt. So that would give this sound a different quality, and the different quality would be, it would be a more kind of like maybe a tad darker sound, more powerful, you know, rounded off tone, maybe less twangy. It will still be, you know, a great Blackguard sound, but it will be different from a later Blackguard in that sense, because the construction of this pickup was a little different.
Switch to the 53. We're going to have the careful handoff. Let's make sure everyone's really careful.
This is the most expensive trade.
and this is Nacho's guitar.
Okay.
This is his 53.
Yeah, this is, I don't even know the serial number, but it's 2241. Yeah, this guitar is a 53. To me, this is like another perfect time for Fender. It's a July 1953.
That is very specific.
Which is very specific for this. This is the type of neck that everybody likes to say, like to refer to as a baseball bat. But it's a large neck. I don't remember this by heart, but I'm gonna guess this is over 90, .90 on the first fret, which may sound like a fat neck, and it is a fat neck, but it's so comfortable. The way Taddeo would shape the back of the necks, the shoulders on the back are like very defined, you know, very subtle. So it's a nice grip. It feels great, and you get a lot of tone because you got a lot of mass in the wood mass in the neck. So. This is another great example of a great year for a Blackguard. So here we have, as you can see, you know, the finish of this guitar is totally different from that guitar. Not even the color, but how the finish is applied and is built up. You know, here we have like the desert sand undercoat, which is like makes the finish look a lot flatter than that one. And it's more stable. So basically we have what they do here, they would seal the wood, then they would apply the desert sand, then they would do the blonde, and then they would do a clear coat. So
so you can play it in Spain?
I can play it in summertime, and somebody played it, you know, because there's a lot of buckle wear here. But it is kind of like what we were talking about, but the blonde finishes from this era. It's kind of like the same principle. Like you get a lot of different shades and a lot of different, it's so three-dimensional. You have different colors here, there, there, there. You know, it changes and it's beautiful in that sense. This guitar is the only thing that was changed in this guitar when I got it many years ago. Was that the fretboard had been planed and it had been refretted. So the guitar didn't look that right because it had a shiny looking, new looking fretboard. So I added the grooves, the fingerboard, where to make it look a little better. But other than that, you know, the frets are perfect. They're not the vintage size of frets, but they may be like medium. I don't know. I haven't measured them. But the pickups are original. Everything under here is original. So it's got the second generation wiring, which is not the blend control like that guitar. So here you have a tone control. So you can hear, you know, you have a tone control on all three positions. And you can still combine both pickups if you lift the switch in the middle, but that's not going to stay. So here you have this pickup with a tone, this pickup with a tone, and here you have the cap with the neck pickup.
Why did the scratch plates on these guitars look very different. Was the finishing process different at that point, or you know, again, is that just mm-hmm. is that just a wear difference? I know we got a little glare going on, but I'm going to look at that, and we're going to try to.
Well, this you know, Fender. I think Fender was getting phenolic paper from whoever was making it, and I'm pretty sure that he was getting whatever they would deliver. So over the years, it doesn't, you know, some of the phenolic paper that they were getting was more of a plasticky feel and look. You know, it would be less of a fiber and more of a plastic.
Right.
And the first, the Bradcasters, the very first ones from October 1950, don't even have any lacquer on top. So and it's a very different phenolic paper. It's a shiny, it's a very shiny paper.
Right.
And then on this guitar, this is very, you know, it's different from that one.
And this is, you know, this spot is something that's, you know, kind of hard to replicate and kind of something that you see from that era guitar also.
Yeah. It's, it's got, again, you know, this is paper pressed with some kind of plastic, you know, so it's, they call it, it's a Bakelite, but it's a compressed paper with
so those are the layers you see here.
So you know, again, we have the saddles here with the brass, but on this guitar it's different than that guitar, because they are notched on the high E and on the low E and the high E string, because I don't know if you can get that with a camera, but in order to get a lower action, Leo would add a notch on the backside of the saddle, so you can lower it down further. And the knobs are kind of like shorter, and they have a different dome shape. This is different too. This is kind of like the second version. The Bradcaster version is open on the top. This is closed. As you can see here, you know, there's a mix of Phillips and flathead screws. The Bradcaster's got all of them are flathead screws, but on this guitar, everything is Phillips. But the switch and the switch. Everything else is Phillips. The tuners are different. This is open shell, no brand. Cluson tuners, which is what came in early, I would say, spring of 1952. And very similar guitars, but very different guitars.
Can you hold both of them carefully or bring them in close? So people can kind of...
This is lighter than this one. They have different personalities, but they're both great.
Yeah. I appreciate you giving us a little history and a comparison. You know, again, we're backstage at a concert hall in Zurich, Switzerland, and just such a prize to have, you know, these two, you know, cool guitars here. And so I had to take the opportunity to pester Nacho into talking a little bit. So are you still selling the Pinecaster book?
Yes, I am.
Okay. That is an amazing book that if you have any level of interest, any serious interest in the book, you need to check that out. And that's Pinecaster.com?
Yes, sir.
Yes. There's Pinecaster book or just Pinecaster?
Pinecaster book.
Pinecasterbook.com.
Yeah.
And Olivier, of course, has lead music in Geneva, and we really appreciate him letting us look at his Broadcaster. So
it's a pleasure. really, right. You know, and we got some hints as well, so that's really interesting.
Yes,
really appreciate.
Yeah, he gave us a little bit of a little. He gave away a little bit of the magic, just a little bit, but not too much. Thank you, Nacho.
Thank you,
guys. Thank you so much for watching. I need to thank my Patreon members that really make this show possible. You are the best. And if you want to find out more, you can go down in the description. There's a link there. Also, again, I need to thank Nacho, and I need to thank Olivier Uldry for you know, bringing his broadcaster to the show in Zurich. And, of course, to Brad Paisley for letting me ride on the on the train. So, thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Ask Zach podcast. If you want to dive deeper, check out my website, askzach.com, to find more articles and further info on each episode. And remember, it is the support from you, the listener, that keeps the show going. Thank you, friends.